Still weak from the blood sickness, Alanareth walked in the warm sunshine outside the infirmary. Her survival through such an ordeal weighed heavily on her mind. So many had lost their lives in the wake of her escape. Her rescuer, Nalin, was probably dead by now, along with the rest. When Alanareth finally found her way to the wash facilities, she had spent hours scrubbing herself, trying to erase the stench and the foul memories out of her skin. Fiona found the girl walking unaided and invited Alanareth to join her on a short tour to her favorite lookout on the cliff's edge. Fiona wanted the girl to see that the realm outside the gates was not completely destroyed by goblins. Soon the two found themselves taking in the view. "This northern edge of the kingdom has a beauty all its own," Alanareth said, taking in a deep breath. She seemed to relax and enjoy the view in the mild breeze. "I like to come here when I'm feeling homesick. It reminds me of how vast the realm is beyond the confines of the gate," Fiona smiled. Alanareth was wearing a clean uniform she'd found in a supply shed. It fit her taller stature and was perfect for hiking. By her bearing and intelligent, educated manners, Fiona could see there was more to this girl than common folk. "Is there anything else you can tell me about the caverns?" Fiona abruptly asked as they made their way back. Too much time on small talk made Fiona feel anxious. She wondered how Ejlum was. As they entered the gates, a crate of supplies was dropped off a wagon that the men were unloading, and the noise made her jump. "Any small details you may have forgotten?" Fiona pressed for more answers. "Our scouts are still missing, and I do not want to give up hope." Fiona tried to sound official and not as frantic as she felt. "I was bound and gagged like a common criminal. I found myself shackled to a wall. There were monsters of many sizes. The taller ones seemed to be overseers. They were half-men or ogre-men, I presume." The girl visibly shook, reliving such vile memories. "Nalin came to my rescue just before they were going to..." She stopped. Her pained eyes met Fiona's, and they both understood. She didn't have to explain any further. "But we've been through this all before," Alanareth scowled. "The chamber was open to the distance. Across the way I glimpsed a wall as they dragged me to a stall. The structure seemed to be crafted with stone and iron. I assume it was the main fortress, I heard them say. The Lord lived there. That is all I know," Alanareth said. The two had made their way to the front of the commander's office. "I wish it could be more." She stared as if Fiona should realize that was the end of this topic of conversation. Fiona did the bow and point thing she had seen Rovash do so many times when he wanted someone to move forward through the office door. Alanareth accepted the invitation. "Where do you come from?" Fiona asked, changing the subject. Alanareth sat down in front of Rovash's makeshift desk. Fiona poured them each a cup of ale, and having passed one to the girl, sat down in the big chair across from her. She shivered, thinking how the room felt so cold without Rovash. The girl took a sip and then finally spoke. "I am under obligation not to say. I am emissary to the North Shire for my father's business. I was to meet with a certain man, but he never showed, and then we were ambushed." The girl sighed. We? Fiona asked. Yes, my men were either killed or taken captive, as was I. Did they bring you into the mountain from the Etten Fields? Fiona asked. I suppose they would have had to. The entry must be well hidden by magics. There were men in robes. They looked like wizards at first, but their behaviors were all wrong. We were blindfolded most of the time, so we could not find our way back, Alanareth explained, shrugging her shoulders as she took a sip of her ale. Fiona was frustrated, knowing the girl was more than she seemed. Please, you are among friends now. Can you still not trust me? Our scouts are in grave danger. Nolan, who risked everything for you, is in danger, Fiona pleaded. Alanareth could no longer keep her secrets from Fiona. She sat up straight and, with a solemn look on her face, carefully pulled her hair back over an ear. The slight curve of a higher kind of elven blood seen only among kings proved she was elf-blooded. "You carry the royal line of Edeleth," Fiona gasped. "I am the king's youngest daughter. Can you now see how my being here was not supposed to happen?" Alanareth stared straight into Fiona's eyes. "Your mother is the half-elven queen," Fiona realized as the puzzle in her mind fell into place. "Welcome, Princess Alanareth," Fiona officially greeted her in their commander's absence. "How your scout thought to save me, I do not know." Alanareth looked down at the cup in her hands, clearly disturbed. "Oh, lords!" Fiona sat back into her chair, fully realizing what was going on. "You were looking for Otto's ships," Fiona stared back at her. "Yes, my mother wishes to find pardon in her mortality," Alanareth said. Fiona's face went pale as she struggled not to look upset in front of the princess as she listened to her full explanation. "In keeping within the rites of his people's tradition, my father plans on giving up his spirit at the next quarter mass of the sun, and my mother does not wish to stay after he passes on to his mortal grave." Alanareth choked, unsuccessfully trying not to cry. Fiona looked down at her fingers, frowning. She had just learned that soon Angheli's royal family was going to suffer the loss of the king and the queen. It would be ruinous to the humans to have such an event befall them at this time. Now Fiona understood why the princess was being so cautious. She found herself alone, and she had to put this devastating ordeal behind her so she could focus on such a dire quest. Welcome to the Tales of Eldalorn podcast. You are listening to the world's first dark fantasy Elfa novella. I am your author and narrator, Carly Bonn, and we are in Season 3, reading Chapter 39, Heart of Valor. Hang on tight, because here we go. I was just about to send a message to the king about the dragon. Should I then request an escort for you? Fiona tried not to seem upset as she spoke, but her eyes betrayed her growing sorrow. Then my mission has failed. Alanareth's face fell in defeat. She looked down at her hand and took another deep swallow of her ale. After a moment of thought, Fiona spoke. Since we're being candid, I must inform you that we have been searching for any hidden Edeleth for more than 19 years, and the kingdom seems to have become barren of our kind. Fiona then pulled back her curly hair and showed Alanareth the distinctive sharp points of her own elven ears. Alanareth gasped. How many have you found? There is myself, and my Ejlam, whom you have met. Nalin and Rovash are my sister and Ejlam's brother. We thought they were finding their way out of that place. We now know my sister is being held somehow against her will in those accursed caverns. Rovash is most likely finding a way to rescue her. Ejlam has gone to our King Elendil for help in this matter. Your sister. Alanareth saw the tragedy of Nalin's abduction by the dragon more clearly. I have riders out across the land in all directions searching, Fiona said. One returned from Northshire and Otto's landing just yesterday. We believe Lord Otto still waits, but he is faded. The ships are sailing, but no crew is visible to human eyes. Oh, Mother will be so pleased to hear it, if there is any hope at all, Alanareth said gratefully. Then I will send for an escort, and please tell them what is transpiring here. These are not just scouts that have gone missing, but our own precious family. The princess solemnly nodded as she listened to all the details Fiona could tell her. King Elendil's voice echoed in Ejlam's thoughts as he attended his daily lessons. The Fallen One gains power over men by cultivating the malice of his twisted thralls. Know this, Fiona will be used as a weapon against you if she is ever captured. You must protect her at all costs, because she is heart-bound to you. The Dread Lord may have this knowledge already because of your brother's captured mind. That could be to your advantage, or this information could prove fatal. In a fleeting moment, the room dimmed and the air grew thin where King Elendil sat. He saw a vision of the devastation of Ejlam flash through his mind, and he cringed imperceptibly. After a brief pause, he regained his composure and continued the lesson as if nothing happened. You understand the way of Lord Lorien's gardens and have sipped from the joy of his fountains. It is easy to be there among the immortal Edeleth and forget about this realm. You are tethered here in this place by her now, and that pain will be yours alone to bear. I will be glad to suffer any pain for my Fiona. Ejlam spoke up with the unflinching courage of youthfulness. Elendil's grim stare pierced Ejlam's heart into silence. Then you must always remember to use that as your strength. You may have to realize a sacrifice for the greater good, Elendil strongly lectured. This truth is not spoken to enlist a dispute, my son. You may not be able to save yourself or your loved ones. You will have to accept this. The king's voice trailed off as he realized he too would have to witness the possible loss of both Thendil's sons. He solemnly prayed it would not come to that. Know this, my son. Above all, dragons are arrogant and hedonistic in their lusts for power and pleasure. They enthrall their prey into complacency with an enchantment that blinds all rational thought. Their cleverness can twist the truth to send even the strongest will into despair. Ejlam's mind grew weary. It was all too much information. He had been studying for days, and he felt himself growing weaker with each bit of knowledge the king told him. How can anyone fight such monsters? Is it hopeless that I find myself faced with such treachery? He bemoaned his fate as he turned and stomped away. There will be many things you will have to accept, Ijlum, the king called after him. Now is the time to do so, he spoke to an empty room. Shaking his head, Elendil retired to his private chambers to rest and think on the vision he had seen earlier. Rovash was slowly becoming paralyzed with fear as he plunged down into the ocean again and again. Ijlum had completely disappeared. This time he'd made it into the icy deeps. Rovash's eyes didn't sting as he opened them wide, searching the bubbling underwater current. Surfacing for air, he could not believe his brother would still be alive after all this time. Diving down again, he suddenly caught a glimpse of him, but he was too far away. Ijlum floated loose in the undertow. His body had given out from lack of breath. At that moment, a colossal shadow shot past at blinding speed, pushing Ijlum in its wake. Was that a large fish? Ro had little time to wonder as he grabbed for his little brother. He found purchase on the material of his tunic as his body slammed into him. The wake from the unknown creature flung them hurtling out of the deep ocean current. Bringing his brother to shore was Rovash's only concern now. Lords, let him be still alive. Rovash swam hard for the sandy beach with one arm. The other was busy holding on to the body. He stumbled out of the waves with EJ slung over his shoulder. Gravity pulled at Ro's great strength as the weightlessness of the ocean buoyancy fell away. He slammed his little brother down hard into the sandy beach. His dead weight sparked Ijlum choking and coughing back to life. It was the only way Ro knew how to knock the water out of his lungs. He felt lucky his little brother would always gasp back to life again, but there was always the fear that this time would be the last, that this time the technique would prove useless to save him. EJ sputtered face down. He threw up his gut content along with ocean water from his lungs. His arms were useless to pick himself up out of the puddle forming under his face. Bigger hands lifted him up over a bent knee, where he hung, spewing from his nose and mouth in great, retching spasms. Why do you always do this to yourself? Do you have a death wish? Ro asked. Do you even think of the pain your loss would cause our mother? Rovash's voice was calm, considering he wanted to beat his little brother senseless for what he'd just done again. Instead, he firmly patted his back, helping clear out all the salt water. When the spasms subsided, Ro turned EJ around in his arms. He gently wiped sand away that was caught under his eyelashes and on his pale ruddy cheek. The distant, mournful eyes on EJ's face betrayed his haunted mind. Ro had seen it before whenever he got himself into this state. When are you going to be too old for such tricks, little one? Ro sadly muttered. He held EJ, rocking his brother's weak body to himself. He silently cried his own tears over his small shoulder as he hugged his little brother tightly in his arms. Please do not tell Mother. EJ whimpered against Ro's collarbone. Promise me not to do this again. I almost could not find you. The memory of the monstrous dark shadow underwater spooked Ro. A giant fish almost ate you. It did not, EJ whined. Yes, it did. I saw it, Ro argued back. Lords, EJ, this time was almost your last. He hugged his brother even tighter. Pushing himself to stand on his own two feet, EJ stood in front of Rovash. He looked him straight in the eyes. I am sorry, EJ quietly said, pouting his lip out, trying to prove his sincerity. Ro brushed the tangled curls out of EJ's face. He could see he had come back from whatever it was that possessed him. "I feel such great loss, and I have to find something. I have to breathe. In the cold stream, it is supposed to be okay," EJ sobbed. "And never is it okay," Ro firmly added. His little brother was not making any sense, but he'd heard all this before. EJ looked hurt at his shuffling feet in the sand. Ro let out a long sigh under his breath and shook his head. EJ smiled weakly at him, and Ro couldn't help but sadly grin back. "I promise," EJ said, nose to nose, doing his best puppy eyes for Ro. "You must swear it," Ro tried to scowl for better effect. "Gwestan u de Cherithon," EJ convincingly crooned as he put his hands on both sides of Ro's face and solidly kissed him on the lips. "You know there will be dire consequences with that vow you just made." Ro's eyes went soft as he studied his little brother's face. He knew it was out of Ejlum's ability to control himself when this strange possession came over him. He wished he had not made him speak those words, knowing he would only break them. "It is not good to practice breaking vows, EJ," Ro said in resignation, as he got up and shook the sand from his short trousers. "Come on, let's go see if there are any eggs or mushrooms to be found." Rovash tried to redirect his little brother into doing something useful. "How about that odd girl we saw? We could go hunt for her." Both their eyes narrowed in agreement on the game. "Okay, little one," Ro accepted the challenge. "Keep your eagle eyes open because I will spy her first." The brothers smirked at each other as they took off running for the forest edge where they last saw the girl. EJ stopped suddenly, confused. "I do not have an eagle's eye. Ro, Ro,
Ro."
He found himself shouting at a faded picture as the veil faded away in his mind. Ejlum abruptly sat up in a cold sweat. The echo of his brother's voice sounded like it was still in the room. It was dark outside the window where he was staying in Elendil's palace. A cool breeze felt good on his damp skin. "It was only a memory, a dream." He shook his head and rubbed his hand across his right temple, as if to wipe away the vision, but he did not want to forget that day. Ro had saved him so many times from some unknown possession that kept driving him into the deeps. "Yeah, the vow did not work, as I recall." EJ smiled at that as he ran his fingers through his loose hair, sweeping it back off his face. "I know this has become serious," EJ said out loud, as much to himself as to the long memory that haunted him. "What is it that you're trying to show me, big brother?" Dreams are windows into the soul. Or is it eyes? Well, either way, is someone trying to tell Ejlum something? You'll just have to come back and find out. Hit the follow button and I will send you a new episode every week. Tell your friends about me. Word of mouth is how these things spread. And another way is to give me a 5-star rating. That way others can find Tales of Eldalorn out there in the podcast jungle. Thank you, and see you next week. Bye-bye.